going to start now. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. I want to apologize for the delay. My children were overwhelmed with excitement to have Rosh Hashanah over, and we thought that the perfect end to a wonderful experience was to take a picture with Rosh Hashanah, except for the fact that my wife wasn't home and I had to run the camera. And we were a little bit late, but it's my fault, so I apologize. Rosh Hashanah will still start at the scheduled time. I will just abbreviate my shiur. As you know, we have two shiurim scheduled this morning, and whereas Rosh Hashanah is one which touches on one of the sadder parts of Jewish life, and one that, on the other hand, also relates the entire year, mine is focusing on one of the happier times of Jewish life, of course, of Mitzvah of Chanukah, specifically, therefore, related to the Yom. So it's a great schus to be able to share this Torah with you in honor of Chanukah and Rosh Hashanah. I wanted to speak about a very interesting mitzvah, and that is something that the Gemara refers to as the Birkas HaRoeh. As we'll see momentarily, and we know experientially, and we know that we'll see momentarily, the Rishonim themselves are bothered. This is not something that we find familiar in any other mitzvah, really. It's a unique phenomenon. And therefore, it's worth a little bit of time to try to understand, first of all, what it is, because if I took a poll, I imagine that there'd be many people in the room who are not even sure what it is. And secondly, to try to get an understanding of why and how it works. So if you take a look at the first source on your sheet, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos from the well-known Gemaras that discuss the mitzvos of Chanukah tells us, in the name ultimately of Rav, Hamadlik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levarech. We all know this part, this is the easy part, that when you light the candles, when you're a Madlik, then you make brachos. Rav Yirmiya Amar, but Rav Yirmiya says there's another phenomenon, not as well known. Haroa Ner, someone who sees a candle, Shel Chanukah, of Chanukah candles, a menorah, Tzarech Levarech also has to make a bracha. Now, it's true that any time that somebody lights a candle, they will also see a candle. We'll have to see about that, no pun intended, later in the shiur. But it's also, but what I want to point out, just from the opening of the Gemara, is it's evident that we are not talking about the same person. Then it would be redundant. The Gemara would be difficult to read. Obviously, the flow of the Gemara means we're talking about someone who is roeh, who is seeing a menorah, but who is not a madlik, but who did not light a menorah. Someone who just saw, as opposed to lighting. Is this new to any of us? You just see, you're walking down the street, you see candles, and you're supposed to make a bracha? But that's what the Gemara says. Which brachas do you make? So the Gemara continues, I'm Rav Yehuda. Yom Rishon HaRoeh Mevarech Shtayim. If this would be on the first night of Chanukah, the Roeh, just walking down the street, would make two brachos. Umadlik, but someone who actually lit the candles, will make three brachos. Mikan ve'elech ma'alik mevarech shtayim uvra'a mevarech achas. The one who's lighting candles only makes two brachas, and the one who is seeing candles only makes one bracha. The Gemara, in the final line, just establishes which brachos this is, so we're all familiar that when it comes to the madlik, when we light the candles, of course the bracha that drops off is shechiyanu. The Gemara is not sure, that's not as obvious to the Gemara when it comes to the roeh. But the Gemara says, no, of course that's the case. Because Shechiyonu was a one-time thing by definition, whereas She'asa Nisim, which is on the first day, the second bracha, and on the other days, when it comes to the row, would be the only bracha. Why? Because as the Gemara says, Neis Kol Yoma Ise. There's a Neis every day. After all, if the purpose of the candles, as the Gemara itself had previously told us, was to commemorate the miracle in the Beis HaMikdash with the menorah, so each day was another miracle that this one jug of oil kept on lighting and lighting and lighting. So She'asa Nisim is relevant all 8 days of Chanukah. Shechiyonu is only relevant on the first day. So half of this Gemara is obvious and known to all of you before we started. It's the second half, the part that we want to focus on, which is so challenging and such a novel idea. Namely, that on the first night of Chanukah, you're on your way home from work, for argument's sake, or for that matter, you're on your way out of the house to a Chanukah party or something to that effect, and you see a menorah lit, you will make a bracha. And in fact, on the first night, you might make two brachas, Shechiyonu, as well. And if it'll be the third night, the fifth night, tonight, the sixth night, you will make at least one bracha, namely the Birkas HaRoeh is the bracha, it's not a new bracha, it's the bracha we all are familiar with, the bracha of She'asa Nisim. Now, as a way of beginning the analysis of this mitzvah, before getting to the more basic things, which I promise we'll get to momentarily, the more basic things like, when does this take place? I so far have thrown out a few possibilities on my way home from work, after I lit. So these are deliberate suggestions, which as we'll see are very much debated. But even before we get to the most basic question, which is who says this and when and why, I wanted to take a moment to switch gears for a moment and take us a little bit more far afield, but to use that as a very difficult source, which I think will hopefully something we can get back to by the end of this year, and we'll just add or frame just how difficult or how challenging, at least at first glance, this bracha is, trying to understand its relationship to the bracha of Lahadlik, more importantly, its relationship to the mitzvah of lighting candles. What is the machayev? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? Why are we doing it? The Gemara in Masech the Psachim has a very famous discussion at Avzayin. What is the correct nusach of brachos? Take a sec. If you think about it for a moment, we may not have thought about it, but if we think about it for a moment, we realize that different mitzvos have different texts. Now, I'm not referring to, of course, the actual subject, because every mitzvah is, of course, talking about its own mitzvah. But the text, how do we refer to the mitzvah, seems to switch, and if we don't know a rule, it seems almost arbitrary. So, for example, in Hanukkah, we say what? Lehadlik. We use the prefix of lehadlik, to light. But there are other mitzvos where the bracha is al. What would be an example of an al mitzvah? Al nesilas lulav. Right? Mikra Megillah. Why is it that we have some mitzvos, but there's leishay basukah? Why is it that we have some that are le and some that are al? This is a discussion in the Gemara, and it's the ambiguities of the Gemara that lead to a huge discussion in Rishonim. There's a well-known discussion in the Rambam, and the Ramban, and Arayvid, and a whole tar. My first year in the yeshiva was that when we learned Masech the Psachim, and I think that was 93, 94. And I was in Rav Rosenzweig's shir, and I am happy that by his pace, Daf Zayin was the second half of the year. Because I was overwhelmed both by beginning college and beginning a shir, which was at least at the time well over my head, that the first Zman I was lost. But the second Zman, Baruch Hashem, I was able to put in the Amelos, I was able to get it. And I still remember from that year, and I have a special kind of kinship to this sugya, because I really felt that things kind of fit together in the shurim that Rosenzweig gave over these sugyas on the Birchas HaMitzvos. And I recall that one of the very difficult lines in a Rishon, we spent weeks, as is his want for big sugyas, on this topic, and one of them was a comment of the Ramban. Because, again, this is not our topic for tonight, today per se, but all the Rishonim attempt, some explicitly, some implicitly, to give you rules of the game. But as would happen, there's so many variables that it's very unlikely that for any Rishon, things always work out. And of course, almost, you know, when it comes to learning, so much of the work that we do is trying to figure out how theory X of whatever Rishon seems to work with things which seem to be exceptions to that rule. In one case, we have the Ramban asking a question on himself. If you take a look in the second source on the sheet, the Ramban, I'll paraphrase it, the Ramban says, the lo versus al depends on how central you are to your own mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah that you have to do yourself, you can't give away to anybody else, then you say lo. But if I could ask someone else to do it for me, then I will say al. Then it's going to have to be al. So the Ramban, in the course of his discussion, asks on himself. He says, how do you understand the brachos of Hanukkah, lehadlik ner shel Hanukkah? After all, while it's true that in many houses everybody lights, but it doesn't have to be. We know the halacha is ner ish ubeso. There only has to be one candle per house. And the simple, the Ramban apparently understands, although this is certainly debatable, but the Ramban understands that how would that work? That the one person is lighting is a shliach for everybody else. So according to his own rules, he asks, it should be al. Because if it can be done by shliach, it should be al. That's the Ramban's question. How could we say lahadlik when the mitzvah can be done by other people? Right? It's not just that in theory if we're all at home. This is a common question, halacha lamaisa, and we'll actually get to this also in a bit. Let's say, for argument's sake, I get to shaila at least once per night of Hanukkah every year, which is sometimes if you have, the husbands can be coming home late from work past the time of Hadlaka. What is preferable? What should be done? Should his wife and family light at the right time? Either for him, maybe he will light when he gets home, maybe he won't light, or should they all wait for him? And without getting into what the variables are and how you would balance that question, but the premise of the question, which is accepted, which is that in theory it's certainly possible, yes, the woman of the house, the wife, could light. Madlikin a love of Esau, you could light on his behalf. Let's say he was away on a business trip, as we'll see in a moment. These kind of cases. So you do have cases which the Ramban says somebody can light on behalf of other people. When that's the case, shouldn't, according to the Ramban's own rules, that bracha should have been al and not le? That's the question. So take a look at the Ramban's answer. It's the part that I have underlined in the second source. Kevin Shaharoa Nami Mivarech Umitzvah Liros Mishum Persuminisa Kavua Velamid. Since there's a concept called Birchas Haroa, our topic, now you know why we're discussing this Ramban. Birchas Haroa, seeing the candles. So seeing the candles is something by definition, either I saw the candles and then I would be a Roa, I saw it, therefore I'd make the Bracha, or I didn't see it. My sight, Ria, right, this they haven't been able to do with all the advances so far yet with medical science. No one else can see for me. When the Gemara talks about Birkas HaRoeh, says the Ramban, by definition, that means I'm doing it. That's Iev Sher Lasosad Eshliya. The Birkas HaRoeh is by definition only for me to see. Since that's the case, therefore they made it with the Lamed. So who is awake enough to realize the most obvious and difficult question with this Ramban? It makes no sense. So you got this obvious question staring us in the face. No. In Hanukkah, what's the bracha that we were talking about? Lo versus al. Lahadlik. What's the bracha of the roeh? Shazarizim. What does one have to do with the other? So who asked this question? Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, in the old editions of the Ramban, I guess there's older editions, but in my age, we already have some new, what they call scientific in Hebrew, we learned Ramban Mada'it. But the standard Rambans now come with Gilyonos of the great Rashi Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. And on this Gemara, every now and then, he has little notes on the bottom of the page. This is one of them. And he says, it doesn't make any sense. You're bringing me a raya for apples with oranges. What does one have to do with the other? You're telling me the reason we determine the bracha of Lehadlik instead of Al Hadlakas is because there's a notion of Sha'asanisim if I'm walking down the street. What does one have to do with the other? Good question, I think. So let's keep that in abeyance, and now let's get back to more basics. We'll try to get back to that question if we can. Let's take a more basic question now. Who is this Roeh that we're talking about? Who is going to make a bracha when they see the candles? Let me ask you a question here by show of hands, and let's not be shy. Who has ever been walking down the street and made a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim on candles that they saw? Okay. I haven't either. So let's try to figure out if there's a defense for our behavior, our inaction. Why? What is the case? When is it that this bracha takes place? Again, let's make sure, I want to be sure, I don't want to lose anybody. We're just getting started. You with me? Okay. The Gemara says, when you're walking down the street, Haroes, Haneros, you see candles, you make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. The Gemara does not tell us who, when, and why. That's what we're going to try to fill in now. Who and when? Who are we talking about? When is this the case? So Rashi on the Gemara makes the following comment next to number two. We're talking about, he has a few different theories, including the Kosher of his Rebbeim. Let's look at the one, the most well-known comment of this Rashi, the one that I have underlined. We're talking about a case. He says, somebody to lo huskaka brachazu, ela mi should lo hidlik bebeso adayin. So what's the key modifying word? Right, you're teaching your children, you know, look for key words when they're reading Chumash or they're reading Mishnah. What's the key word here? Adayin. Has it, right? How do you translate it in English? Yet. Right? I would do this, I would call it yet. So I gave you two scenarios before. Let's see which one Rashi was talking about. I'm on my way home from work. And I'm walking up the block, and I see candles. I haven't lit yet. Do I make the bracha in front of Rashi? Yes. I lit already. I sang. I played dreidel, and now I'm going to a Hanukkah party down the block, or at the shul, or at the yeshiva, and I'm seeing candles everywhere. Do I make the bracha in front of Rashi? No. Right? It says Rashi. It's someone who hasn't lit yet. So on the one hand, that's a tremendous limitation, right? Because if I've already lit, I won't make the bracha. But it's also, if you think about it, and we'll see when we compare it to the other Rishonim, a tremendous, for lack of a better term, chumrah, or a tremendous expansion of the idea. Because let's say I am, as Rashi himself implied, I'm moments away from lighting my own menorah. And yet I'm going to, in a certain sense, jump the gun and say Sha'asa Nisim beforehand. Now let me ask you a question. According to Rashi, first of all, why do I have to make Sha'asa Nisim? I'm about to make it in 5 minutes. So why should I make it when I just see the candles? Number two is, let's say I did. We're living in Beis Rashi. He's the Mara D'Asra. We follow his Psak. When I get home 5 minutes later and I light the candles, Do I make another Sha'asa Nisim or not? It's not, Rashi doesn't tell us, and it's a machlokas. In the Rishonim, they have machlokas about this approach that Rashi, I just will bring your attention to the Ritva and the Or Zeruah, the next two sources. The Or Zeruah says, if you go to the second one of the two, the Or Zeruah says, V'haroa kishiyavarech, kishiyavo lebeso, when he then gets to his house, lahadlik, and then lights afterwards, mevarech lahadlik, Basulo, Shaykhar Bira Kishara, right? That's what Bernie was saying. Rav's like, how, once you say it once, you don't have to say it a second time. But if you look at the previous source, the Ritva in his comments on the Gemara, he says it's not so simple. He quotes one opinion like this, which is the more intuitive approach, perhaps. But then he also has a Yesh Omrim. What does he say? Shemavarach Alariya, second line, the Chosra Mavarach Bashar Shemadlik. So according to the Ritva, Rashi would have you saying the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim twice. I'm on the way, literally minutes, maybe less, from lighting my own candles, Sha'asa Nisim. Then I'll get home, get everyone together, make the brachas, get the candles ready, Sha'asa Nisim.
What's the difference between the two ra'iyas that you would only do it twice? And say you saw five menorahs.
Right. I want you to know something. I hope by the end of the year to give us an attempted explanation for Rashi. But the one thing that, at least for me, I was not yet able to. I have my little notes. Tzarchim. I'm not sure which is once what the limit to two is. I ask myself that question, and I'm not sure what the answer is. This is in general, Ron. Often the case is, when we have a difficult question, so the stronger the force in one direction of the question, the stronger the resistance has to be, right? We need a better answer to answer the question. But sometimes the answer is almost too good, and then we're left with other questions, and that's where I find myself with this. It's such a difficult sheet to understand, we're going to have to give, I think, somewhat of a creative or ambitious answer. But whatever answer we give, it'll be an open question, which I admit I'm not sure I have an answer to myself, which is what's magical about two. Okay.
Maybe the Ritva was talking about being motzi others in that bracha that are in the house.
He doesn't say that. That would help us. That would be a way of restricting the originality of it. But he doesn't say it. But I want you to know, this is an interesting point, but it's a side point. The main thing I want you to focus on, if we try to keep the big picture here, is that Rashi says, and now I want to frame Rashi in the following way, because as we see the other opinions, you'll see I'm giving them to you. Rashi's first, not only because he's always first, but because in this case, it represents an extreme. In a certain sense, the most ambitious scheme. Namely, that Rashi says, think of it this way, tell me if you have me and that I'm staying true to Rashi. According to Rashi, even if I will be lighting myself at some point later that night, so I will have ample opportunities to see the candles, I'll have ample opportunities to make a Sha'asa Nisim. It's not like I'm otherwise going to be stranded without an opportunity. I will have opportunity. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Nevertheless, Rashi says, you still make Sha'asa Nisim when you see the Neros. Is that true? Is that a fair representation of Rashi? Good. Now you'll see that, very often the case is the first opinion that we see, in this case Rashi, so you'll appreciate how novel that idea is when we contrast him with the other approaches. You'll see all the other approaches we're about to see are much more circumscribed. This, in one sense, is a very expansionist understanding of the Roa. The Roa means, even though I'm going to be a madlik, to put it back in the terms of the Gemara, I will be a madlik. I am about to make the brachas. I will light the candles myself. I will make Sha'asa Nisim myself, given the opportunity 2 minutes from now. But if I end up being a Roa at first, I still make a bracha. You take a look at the bottom of the page, the Rambam says the following. The Rambam quotes this halacha, it's an undebated Gemara. The Rambam says, Kol shechayev b'kriyas ha-megillah, chayev b'adlokas ner Chanukah. Not our topic, but the Rambam, in fact, in this area of halacha, he has it together, halachos Megillah of Chanukah. He puts them together, who is obligated in Megillah is also obligated in Chanukah. V'hamadlik oso b'layla harishon b'varach shalosh brachos. The first day is 3 brachos. And then he gets to the punchline, which is relevant for us. V'chol haroa osa b'lo birech. If you see candles and you have not yet been b'varach shtayim, sh'asanisim la'avoseinu v'shechiyanu. Now, what word does he not have? He does not have adayim. He does say roe velo birech. You haven't yet made a bracha, but he does not say adayim. You were not. So, if you take a look at the Magid Mishnah,
sure,
the Magen Mishnah takes it in a very different direction. Because let me ask you a question. I referred to before the following case. Let's say I'm not going to be home. Let's say I can't get home till very late. Let's say I'm on a business trip. Let's say I'm flying, or I don't know what, without getting into the shilas of flying to Hanukkah. But let's say I'm somewhere where I just have no possibility. I couldn't reschedule the business trip, and there's just no possibility for me to light. So what is a person supposed to do? Madlik and Allah Bebeso, right? The family will light on his behalf. And your yod says a mitzvah. Now, what does that imply about Hanukkah? Chavos Habayis? That's not our topic. But the bottom line is, I think it's clear, that is a concept in halacha. No one debates it. They could light for you in your home. So let me ask you a question. Let's say I haven't lit yet. And let's say I won't light all night. But my family will light for me at home. And through them, I will be fulfilling my obligation. Or the family fulfill this obligation, or the house fulfill this obligation, as you like. Do I also make a Birchas Haroeh? So according to Rashi, it seems to be obvious that you would. Because Rashi says, even if you yourself are going to make a bracha, you would do it. But what about according to the Rambam? So here, the Magen Mishnah, here I'm on the bottom of the page, the Magen Mishnah has the following. He wants to split the difference, if you will, take a middle position. All of the other Rishonim, with the exception for the most part of Rashi, assume that Rashi was going too far. And some of them don't even discuss it. It's obvious that I should make a bracha on seeing candles when moments later I myself am going to light? No. But what about this middle case where I'm not going to be a madlik? Again, it all goes back to the categories in the Gemara. I won't be a madlik, but someone will be a madlik on my behalf. A little bit interesting now. So I won't be a madlik. If I'm not going to be a madlik, but I'll be yotze anyway, am I considered a roeh to make a bracha or not? So says the Magen Mishnah, the last line of the page, he infers he's medayik in the Rambam. Even if you were going to fulfill the mitzvah, kigon, shehidliku alav besof beso mivareich. Says the Magen Mishnah, the Ramban was coming to teach us a middle case. The Rambam, excuse me, a middle case. Namely, and again, it's left implied, but non-controversially implied, that Rashi was going too far. What about a middle case? That, says the Magen Mishnah, that I can handle. That's what the Rambam was suggesting. If I myself am gonna light, so I'll be a madlik. I have an opportunity to say shasanisim at the time that I'm lighting. Of course, that's preferable. Right? That's the pure halacha. Hamadlik tzarek levarek shlosha, or shtayim the rest of the holiday. Two brachos. Hamadlik shasanisim, as we all do every night. When am I in the second category called a roeh? Says the Magen Mishnah, Rambam understood, as long as I myself am not a madlik. Right? As it happens, and it's true in many, not all, but many mitzvos, I can get, you know, the cha-ching, the mitzvah points, I can be yotze, even without actively doing it. Someone did it for me. Now, usually when we have that, I have to be around the table. We're all making kiddush, one person makes a kiddush, something like that. The chiddush of Ner Hanukkah, which is related, but it's a slightly different topic. We'll have to have a Kol Yom Rishon next year. We can spend more time talking about this topic per se. But the Chiddush Ner Chanukah is I don't even have to be at home. But as long as they lit for me, I could be Yotzei. So in that case, I'm Yotzei the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. No problem. If I don't, let's say I'm in Japan and I don't see anyone light candles. So I didn't do anything wrong. But was I a madlik? No, I didn't light. I was Yotzei Hadlaka. I fulfilled the mitzvah. I'm surely not punished. I didn't do anything wrong, however you want to put it. But I didn't light. So says the Magen Mishnah, even though someone's lighting for you and you're Yotzei the mitzvah that way, but since you weren't a madlik, when you see candles, you make a bracha of Sha'asa Nisan. Now that is also very interesting. It's not as far as Rashi, because Rashi says, forget that. Even if you yourself are not just have someone lit for you, even if you light for yourself, you still make a bracha of a roeh. So the Magen Mishnah says, well, that far we're not going to go. But the Rambam believed, and as he points out, there are others who held this way. He calls it Gaonim. There's a Mordechai and others. There are others who say the same thing, that as long as I haven't lit myself, when I see candles, even if someone lit for me, I still make a bracha.
So according to that, if I come and I let my over bar mitzvah son light the candles, but I didn't light because nary shubeso, that means if I'm a roa, I still have to make a bracha.
I think it sounds like it.
Even if I'm standing right there by the candles.
If I hadn't, otherwise.
Right.
But let's say, for example, you were in another room or something like that. Yeah, that's Molly in another room, Molly down the block. If you weren't there, they lit for you, your yotze. Again, that's part of, if you will, the halachic magic of this concept. That not only I don't have to be there, I don't have to answer amen, and I can still be yotze, my zikin love a beso. Okay, so that is a middle position. Now again, on the one hand, you'll say it's not as far as Rashi. But you could understand, I hope I've set it up for you now, you can imagine that there's going to be a third approach, which is going to be even more restrictive. Rashi went so far as to say, even if I'm going to light in a few minutes, I'll make a roa. The Rambam says, well, I can't go that far. If I'm myself going to light, then I don't also make additional bracha called haroa. I don't make shas anisim independently. But if someone was lighting for me, I was yotze, then you would. So what's the logical third option which we have left, which could be taken? Even more restrictive, Barry? In which case? Someone is lighting for me, but I see the menorah. So the Rambam said you would light. But we've left open one possibility to be even more restrictive and say even then, no bracha. And in fact, let me just finish the thought. The Magen Mishnah tells us that in fact there is such a shita, not limited to, but most well known and identified as the shita of the Rashba. If you take a look, the next source on your sheet, I gave you the actual Rashba. Barry, can I say this first? Do you want me to take your question? We'll get to that. If you want to know, bottom line, I know every. I've given enough shirim to know that you want to know what. Bottom line, what do I do, Rabbi? So you were mechavin to the Mishnah Berurah, which is a pretty good day's work already, Barry. You were mechavin to the Mishnah Berurah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah tells us. Yes, exactly. If I could do it, I would too. It's a good job if you can get it. That you were mechavin to the Mishnah Berurah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says with brachos we don't play around. You know, and if you're in the Rambam's world, you know, if you're a Talmud of the Rambam, okay, you could go ahead of him. If you're in Rashi's house, you could do what he said. But the rest of us, we're not so sure. Sabit brachos lahakil. But before we get to that, what's the third shita, which is what really makes everything in question, and which is really why, probably among other reasons, none of us have ever made a Birkas HaRoev? Says the Rashba, come on, the Roev is like the bare minimum. That's if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah in any way. You're not going to light on your own. And Nebuch, whatever the scenario is, you have no family to light for you. Right? Imagine, let's say somebody who was, imagine he's single or something, so and there's no family, lives alone, and is on a business trip, and has no candles. So not only are they not lighting themselves, but they're also not going to have anyone light for them. Says Rashba, in that one case, Baruch Hashem, hopefully not so common, in that one case, that's what the Gemara meant, this whole new halacha called Haroa Sarach Lavarech. Because he has no way of becoming a madlik or even a virtual madlik. He's totally mufka, he's totally separate from the halacha of lighting candles. Because he didn't do it and he has no one to do it for him. But in his middle case, says the Rashba, take a look at the source. Mistabre says, Bishalo hidlik lo higo la bebeso. There's nothing happening, he has no other connection to candles. You know, also the halakha laila, right? In those three phrases, he rejects all the previous shitas we saw. Only when halava chi ein sarach lavarich, which what does he leave by implication? What would be the only time you would make a bracha if you yourself aren't going to light and no one else is ever lighting for you? In that one narrow case, then you would make a bracha. And what is his rationale? A cogent one. Delo matzinu yotze min hamitzvah v'chozer mavarich al haroeh. Right? If you light or you were about to light, so why should I have made two brachas on one mitzvah? And if someone was lighting on my behalf already, so I was already yotze, why should I make a bracha on the mitzvah that I've already been yotze? So we have three basic opinions. I'm not getting into the detail now. We saw Torah Leruah, two brachas once, but three basic shitas. You know, and I listed them from extreme, so to speak, to more minimalist. Rashi says, someone's going to light on my behalf, make the bracha. I myself am going to light momentarily. Make the bracha. That's the most extreme. The Rambam says, well, if I'm going to make it myself, then I'm not going to make the Brachas Aroah. But if someone's going to make it for me, so what? I myself didn't actively light a candle, therefore I would make the Brachas Aroah. And the Rashba has the most minimalist, the most restricted shita. He says, it's only talking about a case where I have no other connection, no other way to fulfill any kind of a mitzvah. But as long as I will be make the light eventually, or someone else will light on my behalf in either one of those cases, then I do not need to make the brach of Aroah. Everybody clear? Any questions? Well, that's what we're about to get to. That's a good segue. Thank you, Maria. Good question. Very good question. So I want to use that as an opportunity. Just let's take a look for Barry. I want to give Barry his moment. And the answer to really everyone wants to know, which is, what do I do? So just, if you see the last two sources, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch has the most limited view. Mi shelo hidlik, someone who hasn't lit. Ve'eino osid lahadlik, it isn't going to light. V'gam ein malik leba beso, it has no one to light for him. Or they have no other connection to the mitzvah than such a person, kisharoa ner chanukam avarech. So, if you just read the Shulchan Aruch, you may not think that that's extraordinary. But with our background now, we realize that the Shulchan Aruch of Paskening was of three different options. He took the most minimalist view. You'll say, why was it so much more cogent? Why couldn't you make an argument for the other two? Says the Mishavura, perhaps, but as Barry had said, Mikomakom eini kadai kein lamaisa, the safek brachos lahakel. Yes, the Mishavura says there are other shitas who have more ambitious, more expansionist approaches, but when it comes to a bracha, we're very conservative. We don't like to play games. Okay? Everyone with me? Good. So let's use our remaining time now to try to dig a little bit deeper and to get beneath the surface to try to understand what might be going on that is the machayev around this whole mitzvah to begin with, and then to try to understand if that might help illuminate, pun intended, illuminate what the different approaches are. One suggestion was made, but with your indulgence, I'm going to hold off on that for a second, okay? Another obvious question, which I alluded to briefly, but we haven't explicitly addressed, but I hope is in front and center of all of your minds, the other real bomb question on this whole sugya, the most basic question is, you know, what is going on? Manishtana ner Chanukah mikol shar mitzvos. Right, let me ask you a question. When you were walking down the street for a sukkah hop, and you saw someone else's sukkah, did you make a bracha of seeing a sukkah? Right, there were people who were going to the Hashkama Minyan, and you were on your way to Shul, and they're walking home with their lulav. Did you make a bracha on seeing someone else's lulav? Is there a whole discussion in Poskim? Well, you didn't yet shake the lulav, and you're not going to shake the lulav, but you saw someone else shake the lulav. Right? The discussions don't exist. Don't look for it. I'll save you the time. There's no discussion about any of this. The only time we have a phenomenon called Birchas Aroah is when it comes to Ner Chanukah. Why is that? You would think that's an obvious answer, but that doesn't. I'm not even sure that is the answer, though. Where else do we have Persuva Nisa? Megillah. Right? Maybe Dalakosos. Right? We don't say when you see. Right? It's a very. Now, this is such a good question that I know when I was younger, you know, it's like what I call the SAT trick. You know, in the SATs, when they give you three or four answers, right, the one that looks most obvious, you know, that can't be it. Right? They're tricking me because it's too obvious. So sometimes we invert that. When we have a question that we think is so obvious, we're embarrassed to ask because we think, well, maybe we must be missing something. I want you to know, if that question was on your mind, you're in good company. And forgive me, Barry, but even better company than you in the Mishnah Berurah, because you're in the company of the Bali Atosfus. The Bali Atosfus asked this most basic question. Now, don't be embarrassed to ask. The Bali Atosfus didn't know either. What is going on? It's Atosfus of Masechta Sukkah by number 3.
Another example, so we see Nesa.
And we don't?
Have nothing to do with seeing. Have to do with drinking or with hearing.
But who said the Ner Chanukah didn't give a seeing?
It's the scene of the Neris.
Who said? They have to light the candles.
It's all for some Nesa. It's the scene of the Neris.
Okay. Maybe it means to light the candles. To light the candles. Right? What's the nusach of the bracha? Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. I'm not totally disagreeing with you. It's not obvious, and it wasn't obvious to Tosfos. It wasn't obvious to Tosfos. Why do we have such a thing? So Tosfos gives a number of answers, he suggests, but he tells you his favorite answer, is Mishum Chavivos Hanes. There's more time to digress about this, but which we won't. But he says there's something particularly special and beloved about the nace of Hanukkah. He's referring to obviously the nace of the Shemen, the oil. That each time, and again, Ron's question notwithstanding, so why don't we say it every time we see a menorah? But because of the Chavivos of the nace, we're so happy when we see candles, we are reminded of the miracle, therefore we make the bracha. The Rambam has a comment in Hilchos Chanukah as well, where he refers to this mitzvah as Chaviven Ma'od. It's very beloved. Similar language to Tosfos. If I'm not mistaken, at the Kol Yom Rishon in New York, last week, one of the shurim, I think, was on the topic of this Rambam. Why is it that, what does the Rambam mean when he refers to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as Chaviven Ma'od, very, very beloved? So I don't know if he also quoted the Tosfos, but in my mind, I would put the two together. Here you have two prominent Rishonim referring to the mitzvah and to the miracle with this language of very, very beloved. So because it's so beloved, says the Tosfos, we give an extra bracha. I don't want to discuss now, that's a good answer, it's not a good answer, what other answers could you give, what other answers did he give, did they give? Only to point out the following, and this is not my diuk, there's a sefer called Kuntras Chanukah Umagila. It was written by a Talmud Chacham named Rav Tortzin. I believe was either a Talmud / Chaver of the Briska Rav, and he points out that you see from this Tosfos the following. The very fact that his question presupposes that we can compare Ner Chanukah to other mitzvahs, notwithstanding your point, which is an obvious difference. He didn't see an obvious difference. And even in his answer is not such an obvious difference. He says he is willing to ask the question. Sometimes you can learn a lot about somebody, not just by the answer that's given, but sometimes it says much or more revealing the questions that they ask. Right? If you have one understanding of, if you have certain understandings, you would never even been bothered. So obvious, Hanukkah is unique. It's all about Re'iyah. So you wouldn't be bothered by Sukkah and Lulav. But Tosfos is bothered about Sukkah and Lulav. So perhaps what we see from this question of Tosfos is a first inkling and insight into what is going on here. One possibility is, even though it's a little bit novel, and forgive me, I have to rush now to make time for a chapter, but I want to, I'm running late, I'm sorry, but I want to just succinctly sketch out for you an approach here. One approach is, as we see perhaps from this Tosfos, that the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, let's say I'm lighting now, like forget all this abnormal stuff, the normal thing. I'm at home, I'm going to light, I make Sha'asa Nisim. Why do I make Sha'asa Nisim? So leave aside the why, and there may be obvious answers, but it's not for us now. It seems that, and Tosfos seems to make this assumption, that the mitzvah, which is lighting the candles, Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, has two brachos which it generates. One is Asher Kedeshanu, the mitzvah of Lahadlik, and the other is Sha'asa Nisa, most likely because, I think it's a little referred to, because Persumei Nisa is part of the mitzvah. So I make a bracha on the fact that I lit per se, but there's also a Persumei Nisa of it. And therefore I say, Sha'asa Nisim, we thank Hashem. What I want to point out, what I'm trying to be specific in my formulation is, that this is a bracha which goes on the mitzvah of lighting the candles. And therefore, since it goes on the mitzvah of lighting candles, we can ask the question, Tosfos says, why not on other mitzvahs? So Tosfos will give an answer, Chavivos Hanes. But it's only if you assume that the bracha is going on the mitzvah, could you then ask, why not other mitzvahs?
What's the
nace
that's
totally
immovable?
Tullian.
What
nace
is immovable?
Good, so that's the answer to the question. So you're asking on the Havamina.
If I'm asking on one part of the Kasha,
immovable, there's no nace also. Right, fair enough. Good, it's fair enough. I'm not trying to ignore. It's a good question. I don't have a good answer, but I don't have time, even if I did have a good answer. But, again, you'll appreciate what I mean when you see the contrast. Rabbi Achai Gaon, right, there was a time in history where Gaon was the last name, not the first name. So Rabbi Achai Gaon, one of the Gaonim, he has one of the first svarim that goes through on the Parshios and lists mitzvos. So Rabbi Achai Gaon says, Sha'asa Nisim has nothing to do with any mitzvah. Sha'asa Nisim is not a response to the mitzvah of lighting candles. It's a response to the Zaman of Hanukkah, to the day, the Kudusha, so to speak, the magic in the air the time of Hanukkah itself. He says that's a general principle. Whenever you have a nes coming to Klal Yisrael, if you go on Hanukkah of a Purim, Machayev Levrucha, you have to make a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. The Meiri goes so far as to say the following case. We had three scenarios before. I'll give you a fourth. Not only do you have no family to light for you, not only do you have no candles, but you are on doing a high-tech venture capital in, you know, research in Vietnam. And there are no candles anywhere. Anywhere. So you'll say, again, you ask the rabbi, can I go on the trip? I shouldn't have gone on the trip. I'm on the trip. Whether you should have been on the trip, you're not on the trip. That's, the facts are the facts. So you quickly email the rabbi, you call him up, and he said, what do I do? So you ask any other rabbi but the Meiri, they'll tell you nothing. Play dreidel, learn the sugyas, right? Try to connect in any way you can. There's nothing else to do. But if you called the Meiri would have said, even though there's nothing to see, you make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. You hear a Meiri? You didn't see anything. Not just that I didn't light yet, but I see candles. You didn't see anything. You still make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Now, what possible explanation could there be for this? Clearly, it cannot be on the mitzvah of lighting candles. I didn't light. I didn't even see someone else's mitzvah's candles. Clearly, like the Shiltos, the Meiri is assuming that in its base, in its heart, Sha'asa Nisim is on the time of Hanukkah. And therefore, while it's better and ideal and natural to connect it to the mitzvah, but if I'm in a scenario where I have no choice, I can even make a bracha, b'shem, with Hashem's name, I can even make a bracha on the very reality, the time of the day on the calendar, on Sha'asa Nisim.
No Haggadah? Same thing?
No, I don't think so, no. Why not? That's a good question, but no. I don't think so. I don't know. Does Meiri and Megillah say such a thing? He does, okay. He does. So at least he's consistent. Only Shachiyonah. So that's a good question. Why would he make the Chilak, okay? Very good. Now, let's just mention two more things and then we'll close. Number one is that this Machlokas may go back to the Machlokas we started with. If you see that the whole purpose of Sha'asa Nisim is a bracha on the mitzvah of candles, not just the halakha of Sha'asa Nisim, so then whose position makes the most sense? The Rashba's position makes the most sense. Because he holds that if I'm going to light, so better to say Sha'asa Nisim when I light, and even if someone's going to light on my behalf, I have my family at home, they're lighting for me. Am I yotzei the mitzvah that way? Yeah. So what was the language of the Rashba? Whoever heard of a time where you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you're being yotzei. We didn't appreciate perhaps the language when we read it. But in light of what we've seen now, like Tosfos, it seems clear that the Rashba is assuming that the whole bracha is on the mitzvah of candles. And therefore, if I'm not going to light and no one's lighting for me, so then I have this kind of virtual new bidyevit. The best I can do is say a Sha'asa Nisim. But as long as I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, I see someone else's candles, at least that connects me to the mitzvah in a watered down way. But as long as someone else is making the bracha for me, and someone is lighting for me, so in my yotze, do I get a check in the Ner Chanukah box for that night? I absolutely do. And therefore, there's no reason to make the bracha. Yet, we have all those shittas who disagree. And one is tempted to say that the reason is because they fundamentally disagree with the whole purpose of the mitzvah. The whole purpose of the bracha, that the bracha is not on the mitzvah of lighting candles. We attach it to lighting candles, ideally, but that's not the machayiv, that's not the purpose of the mitzvah. It could be that Zman Chanukah is the machayiv. The very reaction to the day itself is the machayiv. And therefore the Rambam holds, that as long as I just see candles, we're reminded of, connects us to the miracle that is being celebrated, even if I am yotzei. And according to Rashi, even if I'm going to be myself light. But there's a separate machayev of reacting to seeing the candles, especially according to Rashi, the first time I see them. Even though I'm about to be yotzei. But because there's a separate machayev other than the mitzvah itself.
Or Zeruah would make the most sense.
According to that, that's correct. As I said, we don't have time to get into, although again, that still makes your question wrong. So it should be three times and four times, and every time
if it's just for the night, or if it's Hanukkah, you say it once. period.
But he said, oh, you're saying, oh, right, right. So you're asking, you're reiterating your original question. Which is, well, which is why would you understand that anyone would say to make it twice?
Right.
There's no logical reason to add it twice, and once you add it the second time, why you stop it too?
Very logical reason to stop once.
Right. Let me, I want to mention one last thing, which is something that was alluded to. You said before, you thought it was obvious. It's not so obvious, but it is there on the books. There's a Mordechai I alluded to that she was quoted in Shulchan Aruch in a slightly different context, where the Mordechai is the one, Rishon, who formulates the mitzvah that there's an obligation not just to light candles, but to see candles. There's a mitzvah to see Neros Hanukkah. And therefore, according to the Mordechai, when I light at home and make the brachos of Shas HaNisim, even then, I'm not only a madlik, but I'm also a roe, after all. Okay, Hebrew, I can see the candles. It's not like we thought from Tosis and from the Rashba that I'm making the bracha, two brachos, on the mitzvah of lighting candles. Says the Mordechai, there's another mitzvah. It's called the Re'iyas HaNeros. Now, if we take this Mordechai approach, we would be able to accomplish one thing. We could split off the Rambam from the Meiri. Because even though I, until now, put them together, that they both hold, that it's a Machayev of the Zman of Hanukkah, the Meiri went further. The Meiri said you can make the bracha even when there's no candles around. The Rambam didn't say it, but if he didn't say that, we're not going to assume he held it. It's too wild of a Chiddush to assume. If he held it, he would have had to tell us. The question is, why not? Isn't the Meiri just a logical extension? So the answer may be because the Rambam, we have to reformulate. Maybe the Rambam holds that there's a separate Machayev called Re'iyas HaNeros, like the Mordechai. And therefore, even though Madlik is on the Beis, someone else is lighting for you, what can they do for me on my behalf? They can fulfill my mitzvah of Lokos Neros, but they cannot fulfill my mitzvah of Re'iyas HaNeros. To close, I want to mention one last thing, and that is the following. First of all, on this point of Re'iyas HaNeros, so I'm not sure, maybe it was in Rav Shechter Sefer Nefesh HaRav or some other time, I remember reading that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, when he would come home from shul, after they lit in the shul, he made sure to walk like this. He didn't want to see the menorahs. Now, what was he? Clearly he was bothered. Maybe the Mishnah Berurah says Sefer Brachos Lahakel, but the Rav Chaim was, he was nervous. He didn't want to see, because if he would see the candles, perhaps Re'iyah would have been Machayev him to make a bracha. That's just an interesting historical note. And a final point, which clearly we won't have time to develop, but obviously relates to this whole topic, something which I actually had the pleasure of speaking with one of Rav Shechter's sons earlier this past week, is when do you make any of these brachos in the normal case? Do I make the brachos before I light the candles, or only after I light the candles? And this is a machlokas in the last sources. The common minog, as is discussed in Shulchan Aruch by the Ramah, is that we make all the brachos, even Shas HaNisim, before we light. If you assume that you're going to make Shas HaNisim before we light, it's obviously not on the Re'iyah, but sounds like it's a Birchas HaMitzvah or something on the Hadlaka, over Las Yasin. That's the Mariel's Lashon. Why is it that there are others, it's concluded in the Masechta Sofrim, and the Meiri also has a unique minog? They say maybe Shas HaNisim, you say, after you have lit the candles. Maybe you light all the candles, and then you say Shas HaNisim. So obviously this machlokas of when you say Shas HaNisim or not very much is connected to our topic. What is the nature of the bracha of Shas HaNisim? If it's a bracha HaMitzvah, you're going to want to say it beforehand, but if it's a bracha on just the Zman Chanukah or the Re'iyas HaNeros, then of course you'll wait. And I'll just conclude with something that I know I saw from the Nefesh HaRav, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the minog in the Shechter home, following Rav Soloveitchik's minog, which was to try to be machmir for all the shitas when it comes to the brachos. Which is that apparently your salvation custom was that on the first night you have no choice, you're only lighting one candle, so you have to make all the brachas beforehand. But on all subsequent nights, you make the bracha of Lahadlik, light the first candle, and then say Shas HaNisim, and then finish lighting the candles, and then say Aneiros HaLavu. So that would be a way, again, of being, so to speak, trying to have our cake and eat it too, to have be machmir for all of the shitas. On a practical level, if that is your custom, wonderful, but that is not, as again, as it's presented in Shulchan Aruch. When people ask me, I tell them that I don't have a particular Masorah like that. My Masorah is like the Shulchan Aruch, just to say, like the Ramah, just to say all of them ahead of time. But now at least we understand what it animates these different options and different minhagim. And we understand that this question of when to make the bracha, which is a lot more common of a question, we all deal with it 8 nights of Chanukah every time, is part of a larger question about the whole nature of the mitzvah, which has to do with all of these other more rare practical cases of the Birkas HaRoah. Thank you very much for coming. We'll take a 2-minute break, and then we'll have the schluss of hearing Harav Shechter.